Today on Real Life Radio.
When you're dissatisfied, it means that there's a satisfaction that exists, but you haven't reached it. And that is a good description of the Christian life. How is it that the Christian life is fully pleasing and at the same time, you're not satisfied?
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Book of Philippians with a message titled Until We Cross the Finish Line, Part 3. The book of Philippians, here now in chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. It's in these three verses that the Apostle Paul bears his experience to us of what the Christian life is all about. You see, in this world, the Christian will live a life of contradictions. We're driven to constantly pursue Christ, while at the same time experiencing our own distractions and trials. God has placed eternity in our hearts while at the same time, He's given us a purpose for living, even in the midst of suffering. Our imperfections, they are many, but we'll continue to press on towards the prize of the upward call of Christ Jesus. So today, on this part of the message, Pastor Jack tells us that until we cross that finish line, God wants to reveal to us His purpose for our lives. It's a purpose that's well beyond our comprehension, greater than our abilities, and it's why we need to let it take hold of our hearts as we keep pushing forward till His plan is fulfilled. Now, before we jump into today's message, have you heard about the Great Reset? Well, it's a dangerous new world order agenda, and it concerns every American, really. Thankfully, our friend Charlie Kirk is very knowledgeable on the subject, and he's written a really good book. It's called The Christian Response to the Great Reset. It's our current featured resource, and it's available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And now, with his message called Until We Cross the Finish Line, Part 3, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Father, we ask, Lord, in Jesus' name, that You would be upon us to be proclaimers of Your Word, but more important than proclaimers, more important than even being students of Your Word. The truth is that all of that would be worthless if we don't become doers of Your Word. So, Father, I invite You, and I believe this prayer is pleasing to You, that You would possess this very church, whatever defines this church as church, that You would possess that in every square inch of this property and beyond, in our hearts and our lives, in everything that we do as believers, in our families and in the fellowship. May we be possessed by Your Holy Spirit to live these days honoring You. We ask in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, Amen. Well, grab your Bibles this morning and turn, if you would, to Philippians chapter 3. I know I sound like a broken record. Philippians chapter 3. And we are looking at what has been entitled a message until we cross the finish line. Until we cross the finish line. And we're in part 3 of this challenge that comes from the very personal life of the apostle. If we were doing a biographical study of the man Paul, we would actually wind up spending a lot of time in Philippians chapter 3. Because it's one of those chapters from the books that he's written that makes up part of the New Testament of Scripture. Philippians chapter 3 is one of those personal revelations of the deep inner workings of the apostle and his faith. The awesome thing for us is we don't get lost or bogged down in the supremacy, as it were, if I can put it that way, of his walk. Paul brings the experience down to our level, and I appreciate that. He's talking about his life being driven by the Holy Spirit. Remember, he's a believer. The Holy Spirit lives in him. He's like you, and he's possessed by the Holy Spirit to press on with Christ. He's in a world of conflict, but not contradiction. He's at war with the culture, with invisible powers. He's standing and preaching the truth. He's witnessing for Christ. And at the same time, his body is tempted and his mind is the battlefield to be pulled away from the things of God. There's one part power on this side and one part power on the other side, and he's caught in between. And that defines the believer's life. And he writes this third chapter and he bears his experience to us, and it's amazing. In fact, one of those things that we get out of this, I'm curious what comes to your mind when I mention this word. Think about it for a moment. What comes to your mind when you hear the word dissatisfaction? Dissatisfaction. If you look it up, you'll get definitions like discontent or discontentment. You'll get the word frustration. When you're dissatisfied, it means that there's a satisfaction that exists, but you haven't reached it. And that is a good description of the Christian life. How is it that the Christian life is fully pleasing and at the same time, you're not satisfied? You've got Christ and you're going to heaven. It's sealed. Your name is written down in heaven. And yet in this world, you are driven to pursue Christ and to grow closer to Christ. That settling on your laurels, we would say, or cruising, deleting any commitments would never satisfy you. And yet all the commitments that you would make would never bring you the reward that heaven will afford you. It's a contradiction, but it's not. It's a life of pursuit, but at the same time, it's a life of fulfillment. It's very odd. It's very strange. I believe Abraham had this sensation, this drive in his day. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 9, by faith he, Abraham, dwelt in the land of promise. Notice, it's the promised land. You would think that if it's the promised land, wouldn't Abraham just cruise? Wouldn't he kick back? Wouldn't he relax? It says that by faith he dwelt in the promised land as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Verse 10, for he, that's Abraham, waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Do you hear the divine contradiction in this, ladies and gentlemen, church family? Do you see that? He's entered the land of promise, so have you. You've come into the walk with Jesus, right? You're a Christian. But you've not entered that city yet. You're into the promise, but you're not satisfied, just as Abraham was longing. He was in the promised land, but he was longing for, what does the Bible say? A city that has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. That's called heaven, ladies and gentlemen. Heaven. In fact, in Philippians 3, verse 10, the apostle Paul maybe, perhaps, bears that same emotion. He says that I may know him, verse 10, and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. What is that? I'm a believer. I'm going to heaven. I've got the power of the resurrected Christ in my life. But at the same time, I'm embracing this day-to-day living, as it were, a death that is shaping me and molding me into the very image of Christ, that when God is done with me at the time of my departure, whenever that might be for any of us, as it was for Paul, when that happens, his work will be complete in my life. And that is an awesome truth. And then by way of recap, if you remember this, look at verse 12, everybody. By the way, just cheer up. I'm going to tell you right now, we've been in verse 12 for, this will be the third week of verse 12, but we're making progress. We will end verse 12 and then we'll pick up the pace after, and next week we'll just move on rapidly, okay? I say rapidly, that's relative. But we'll go faster than we have been. It's just that this is too personal and too important. And look at verse 12. You see that word. Not that I've already attained, says the apostle. I've not arrived spiritually, says the spiritual giant, or am already perfected. And I had you circle the word perfected right there. That is that Greek word teleos, telemetry. It means that the transference of information, we often think of it this way, and it's a good way for us to hang on to this word. Paul is saying, I've not yet come to that place of already being perfected or completed or done with. Translation, the path of data, the telemetry from heaven to my life, is constantly being downloaded from the cloud from God, issues of life, thoughts, challenges, difficulties, victories, in such a way that Christ is being formed in my life. The transference of data, as it were, from heaven into my life, Paul says, has not been completed yet. That's good news for me. I'm encouraged by that. Think of it this way. Just as today we boast of having smart bombs or a missile. We drop a missile from an aircraft and it goes down. Did you know this? It goes down a corridor of data. There's a window, there's a box. And though you can't see it, that missile is going down a channel of information that it's following until it reaches the target. Imagine you, the believer with the Holy Spirit in you. Remember, the Holy Spirit's omnipresent. He's God. He's in you and he's claimed you as his own. You're sealed unto the day of redemption. That uplink goes straight to the very presence of God. And all your Christian life, God is downloading issues and situations to form Christ in you. And the things of life are going down, as it were, this path. Telios, the transference of information from heaven to you, God is doing. And so that's why Paul says, as long as I'm breathing, I'm not complete. God is working in my life. A very encouraging truth. So as we look at this today, verse 12 goes on, I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Verse 13 for context. Brethren, I do not count myself as to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I've shared this with you before. I want to share it again from A.W. Tozer. Tozer says, come near to the holy men and women of the past, and you will soon feel the heat of their desire after God. They mourn for him. Have you ever felt like this to some degree? Have you mourned for him? You've got to have him. And they prayed and they wrestled and they sought for him day and night, in season and out. And when they had found him, the finding was all the sweeter for the long seeking. Moses used the fact that he knew God as an argument to know him better. Now, therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me thy way that I may know thee. That I may find grace in thy sight. And from there, Tozer writes, he arose to make the daring request. And this is what Moses said. I beseech thee, show me thy glory. God was frankly pleased by his display of ardor. And the next day, called Moses into the mount. And there in solemn, isn't this beautiful? In solemn procession, made all his glory pass before him. That so articulates the pursuit of the believer and what's going on in our lives. That's the pressing on that Paul is talking about.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
We saw this last time in verse 12, that until we cross the line, God is committed to us, and it's this. He has revealed to us our purpose for living, that God has a purpose for our living. Every one of us is believers. Remember this. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, you're an atheist, let's just go to the extreme. You are full-blown atheist galore. There's no way that God exists. You're an atheist, and you think you've proven that to yourself to be true. Guess what? It is still true that God has a purpose for your life. Here's the problem. How many of you are Christians this morning? Raise your hand. You're Christians? Okay, for those of us who are Christians, we've entered into what the Bible says that God in his foreknowledge has prepared for us a life to be lived. Think of it like this. For those of us who just raised our hands and we are walking with God, something happened to us in the moment of our conversion. And I stress this. After our conversion, we began our walk, okay? We're saved. That's behind us. We're done with that. That's done. Let's move on, is what the apostle is challenging us, is what I would say to you. Now that you're a Christian, let's move on. To what? To the purpose that God has established for us. And so imagine before us, there's a box and it's wrapped. Believer and atheist together, consider this right now. There's a box in front of us and it's wrapped. It's got a bow on it. It's got a name tag on it. And the name tag is your name. Your name's on that box. And we who are believers, we walk around the box. We see the box. We wonder why the box is there. We're curious about the box. I mean, come on, what kid is not curious on Christmas Day? Forget Christmas Day. I was starting to open gifts up a week before Christmas. You shake the box. You look at the box. You move it. Smell it. You're so curious. Let's get your name on it. The believer takes God at his offer and opens the box. And when the believer opens the box, there's a key in that box. And that box, as it were, that key, as it were, is the entrance into heaven. The gift is provided by God. Christ is the key. You're to open the box. Are you with me? You can be an atheist today and walk all the way around the box. You can say, in fact, I don't even believe that that is a box. You can say that this box does not exist. You can argue, you can kick the box, you can yell at the box, you can poke at the box, but until you open the box, you have no key. Until you open the box, listen, you're lost. God wants you to open the box. He wants you to take the key that he has bought, that he has provided. You need to consider that if you're not a Christian today. Why haven't you opened the box, which is the very purpose of your existence? We who are believers, we know why we exist. And we learned two things last time, that it's beyond our comprehension. How exciting is that? Do you want a radical, fulfilling life? God's got a life for you that is beyond your comprehension, that his desire to do and through your life is so beyond you. I've got to tell you, God in my life for 40 years has done more. I couldn't have written a story better. I got to confess, I had a very low bar for myself. If I got out of bed the day after I became a Christian, that's a great victory. God had other plans, and I'm grateful for those other plans. I love when God has his way with his plans in our lives, because you know what? Just get used to perpetually feeling completely inadequate for the task in front of you. This last week up in Canada, it's a big deal that I was invited to speak to this thing. I didn't know that. This person came up to me and said, young man, you know, I knew I was in the right place when he said that. He said, young man, do you understand how rare it is and how important it is that you are asked to speak here? And I totally caught me off guard. I mean, I just went, yes, sir, sure do. And I don't know. And then I asked a couple of questions. Well, what's the deal? Who has spoken here before? And the list of names, it was like, oop. And then immediately, I felt like a little guy. I felt like, who am I to be here? But listen, God set that up. God wants to do that in your life. That's what God does. Listen, if you're the atheist walking around the box, you're missing it. Wouldn't it be bizarre and amazing that for us as believers, when we arrive into heaven, God is going to show us, he's going to reveal things to us that we were to be faithful to. That's going to be heaven. That's when we enter in. We're not retired yet. I met a man again up in Canada, 92 years old. He said, Pastor, pray for me. My wife died, and I'm seeking the next chapter in my life for Christian ministry. He's 92. I thought that would be called a cruise ship or something. At 92. That's the right attitude to have. At 92, Pastor, pray for me. I need to see God's vision for my next chapter of life, of ministry. Listen, retirement is when we see Jesus. That's when we rest, when we enter glory. Versus the atheist walking around that box of a plan that God has engineered for you, but you never open it up. You look at the name tag, but you never unwrap it. You never get the key. And on the day that you die, that's called hell. And you sent yourself there. You would have sent yourself straight to hell because God had given a box for you to open and to take the key to open the door to get into heaven. And you wouldn't even unwrap the gift. You just wanted to complain about it. You wanted to gripe about it. And you'll be in hell with nobody to blame but yourself. You can't blame God. He gave you the gift. You never opened it. Salvation is one thing. Now that we as believers here in this church, it's like, yeah, awesome. That's done. That's done. But what do we do now? It's beyond our abilities. Beyond our comprehension and beyond our abilities is what we heard last time. That's why Paul says in verse 12, I press on. There's so much more to discover with Jesus. And remember, church, he wrote this 31 years after he had been converted. He was still excited about Jesus. So now we come to the closing argument of this verse that until we cross the finish line, God has revealed his purpose. And look, thirdly, it's this. It's literally the reason why he did. Here's why God reveals his purpose. Verse 12, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. I like the old King James Bible here. It says regarding the laying hold of, like some translations have, the old King James is apprehended. What comes to mind when you hear the word apprehended? The suspect was apprehended. What happens when the suspect is apprehended? They're arrested, they're caught, they're seized. And that's exactly what the word means. Listen, that's why the old King James has the word to be apprehended or arrested. It means to be taken or to take eagerly. There's a passion to this. It's the seizing hold of. It's very, very active. It means without hesitation, you grab something. You lay hold of it. So look how this goes. That I may arrest that for which Christ has also arrested me. So Paul would say today in our modern tongue, Jesus arrested me. I know it's for a purpose, so I'm going to arrest him. I will not be denied. I'm going to find out why Jesus saved me and do that very thing. Christian, this should be our reason for living. It's why God has you and I alive today at exactly at this time of life for a great reason. Now listen, if you read commentaries, if you do studies on this, what could Paul be referring to? Most biblical scholars agree that he's talking about, listen carefully, his Damascus Road experience. We've talked about it before, but not the salvation part. This is important to us. Paul is referring to, in fact, let me read it to you in Acts chapter 9. You can follow on the screen or you can turn to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, verse 1. Now watch this. If it's true that what Paul is talking about in Philippians is not his salvation, but his life after, then we need to ask ourselves this question. Now that I'm saved, a moment ago you raised your hand, you're Christian. Would you agree, does this define your Christian life now, that you are in pursuit of God? Acts 9, verse 1. Then Saul, this is Paul before he was converted, then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, that was what they called Christians in the early days, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. So he journeyed and he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven, verse 4. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, listen, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. Stop walking around the box and tampering with it. Open it up. Look at his response. So he, Paul, Saul, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what would you have me to do? I want you to look at that for a moment. This is to be us. Lord, you saved me for a purpose. I'm alive right now. What would you have me to do? This is the Christian life being lived out.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called Until We Cross the Finish Line, Part 3. Thanks for being with us today. Until We Cross the Finish Line, Part 3, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Philippians. And it's our hope that you open up that gift of eternal life that God has for you so you can have a new life in His Son, Jesus Christ. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
Hey, have you heard about the Great Reset that's coming? Well, listen, it's coming if you know about it or not. And my good friend, Charlie Kirk, we sat down and we had what is called a Happening Now session. For 90 minutes, we discussed what is coming with the new world order, the new world currency, and the Great Reset. So that sit down wound up producing a book by Charlie Kirk. It is fantastic. It's small. It's basically pocket size for you to carry around. In fact, it'd be great for you to get a copy for your friends and family. But The Great Reset, it's a Christian's response to The Great Reset. So you're going to want to get a copy of this, and you're going to want to do it by going to jackhibbs.com and making sure that you secure your own copy, The Christian Response to The Great Reset. Get your copy right now.
The Christian Response to The Great Reset by Charlie Kirk. It's our current featured resource, and you can get it at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.